I want to get right into the message here. And it's going to be really short because I want to save time for communion and I want to save time to do something a little differently too. I'm going to talk about kenosis. Anybody know what kenosis means? It's one of those Greek words. Kind of have a feeling, but kind of don't know, but kind of do know. What's that? That's probably part of the root word. Gnosticism is knowledge. Kenosis is a little different. Kenosis literally means to empty out. If you had a bucket full of water and you dumped it out, the Greeks would say that's kenosis. It has a spiritual meaning too. It has something to do with the nature of Jesus. And this is something we don't think about. If we've even addressed it, we tend to forget this. But it's something that I think we constantly need to be reminded of in the life that Jesus led. You think about all the miracles he did. Healing blind people, lame people, dumb people. I tend to think, that's nice, but there's nothing special about it. You're Jesus. I mean, you can do anything. You can walk on water. You can do whatever. Kenosis means to empty yourself. And in the spiritual sense, the Bible tells us that Jesus emptied himself of, not of his divinity. He was divine the whole time. But he emptied himself of his power. Let me read you a scripture. Philippians 4:5. Paul says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, there's the power, there's the divinity, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That seems to hint there that Jesus voluntarily gave up his divine powers, which is a remarkable thing if you think about it. Because that would mean that he didn't heal the blind man on his own. He didn't have the ability, the authority to do that. He had to get that from somewhere else. He didn't heal the paralytic. He didn't say, rise up and walk by his own power, because he had emptied himself of that power. He got that power from somewhere else. There is another verse that's a little more direct and gives us a little more proof that Jesus did this, that he didn't operate when he was on earth. He didn't operate on his divine power. You know, we read about Jesus sleeping in a boat, for instance. The boat that was going through a storm. The waves were breaking over. I'm sure water was splashing over in his face, but it says he continued to sleep. Why did he sleep? I think it's because he was so tired. You know, by emptying himself of his divinity, he was just like me and you. We get tired. He got tired. And he got so tired that day that a rocky boat didn't even wake him up. But there's another verse in John chapter 5 says this. This isn't Paul talking, this is Jesus talking. By myself, I can do what? Nothing. That's Jesus talking. He says, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but to please him who sent me. By myself, I can do nothing, Jesus says. Now, for somebody who is imbued with power from heaven, that's an unusual statement to make, isn't it? I can do nothing? Unless he had emptied himself of that power. John 14:12 says this. Jesus talking again. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Think about that. As powerful as things that Jesus did, Jesus says two things. Number one, I can do nothing on my own. Number two, you're going to do greater things than me. Doesn't that seem to indicate that he emptied himself of his power? Number one. And number two, that we can do the same things, or at least his disciples could do the same things that he did. So whatever source Jesus got his power from, he's saying that source is available to his disciples. And I believe he's saying that source is available to us. If you ponder that for a while and think about that, it can really make a difference in your life and how you approach life and how you approach the potential power that you have, that we all have. Because Jesus says we can do not only the things he did, but even greater things. So, if you are serious about serving God and you understand the concept of kenosis, that Jesus emptied himself, but yet he was filled back up. Where did that filling come from? It came from submission to God the Father and asking God the Father to do whatever it was that Jesus asked him to do. You remember how many times it said that Jesus spent the night praying? What do you think he was praying about at different times? I think one of the big things he was praying about was just saying, Father, I need the power to heal these people. I'm going to glorify you in the process of doing it, but I can't do it on my own. I've emptied myself, but I'm asking you to give me that power. And I think that's kind of what his prayer life was like. I'm sure he prayed for all sorts of deeper things that we'll never understand, but one of the things I'm sure he prayed for was to ask his Father to give him the power to do what he needed to do. You've heard it said that, you know, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. That's not necessarily true because I'll never play in the NFL. I don't care if I put my mind to it or not. Or the NBA or any other. I had trouble making a high school team, much less a college or a pro team. But it's different when you're talking about spiritual things. I think you can do anything. If you put your mind to it, if you submit to God your Father and you ask for the strength to do things that would glorify your Father. So I would like you to keep that in mind as you ponder this upcoming new year, that Jesus was a very special person in one sense, that he was divine, but in another sense, he was just like us. He had to get his power from his Father. We can get that same power from the Father too. So there's something I want you to keep in mind to think about, but I want to do something differently now than we rarely do, and I did not come to church thinking this was going to happen. But with the ice and all, and knowing that we weren't going to have a big crowd, I thought we could do something a little more intimate, a little more personal than we normally do. I would like us to enter into a time of prayer. And I've asked Chad to have some music, just some background music available. And here's what we're going to do. Sometimes it's hard to just sit down and pray because you draw a blank. I'm going to kind of lead you into topics of prayer. So I'm going to give you a topic once the music starts playing. And what I'm going to do is take maybe 2 or 3 minutes with that particular topic. And I would like you to enter into prayer about that topic. And then after 2 or 3 minutes, I'll just, over the microphone, I'll just mention another topic. And you just go to the next topic. And you can just spend your time thinking about the topic and praying about it. We need to be a church of prayer. I have asked the Lord this new year, this time of seasons changing and all, I have asked the Lord for a special blessing on our church this year. I would like to see our church grow. I would like to see numbers grow. But more importantly, I would like to see our people grow in their spiritual faith. I would like to have, at some point throughout the year, different people come to me and tell me, let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Let me tell you something that I learned that's just exciting me. I would like to see excitement in our church. I would like to see growth in our church, that kind of a growth. And I don't think you can get that kind of growth without going to the Lord and asking God for that. I'm asking for that in my life. I've made several different kind of, we'll just call them resolutions. I don't know if that's an appropriate word for it, but things that I want to change, things that I want to grow in this year. One of the things particularly that I would like to do is I would like to memorize a bunch of verses this year. And the first one that I'm working on is an entire chapter in Isaiah 53. And I got inspired by Vern the other day when he talked about being in Israel, and he read that chapter to the lady who was working there, and she exclaimed, as the blinders fell off her eyes, that's Jesus. She thought at first he was talking about Job when it talked about the beginning of the verse, but then she said, that's Jesus. That inspired me to learn that particular verse. And then as I've transitioned into the New Year's, I thought, why am I not spending more time memorizing Scripture? Because if it's in your memory banks, it's available to you when the need comes up. And I believe God can present that need to you. If you're working on that particular verse, I believe he's going to bring people into your life and say, hey, share this verse with them. Not just that verse. I mean, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of verses that are wonderful verses. I'm gonna work on that this year. I would encourage you, if you are not a student of memorization, pick some verses that you really like and write them down. Now, people give you business cards all the time. I never throw them away. I just turn them over on the back, and I can write stuff on them. I write Bible verses on them. Stick them in your dashboard on your car. Stick them in your pocket. Carry them around. Every time you've got a few free minutes, you can pull it out. It's not that hard to do it if you'll just stick with it. So that's just one thing. Prayer is another. That's a weakness that I have. I'm not a prayer warrior. I wish I was. But I want to work on that more. The thing that I have challenged myself to do this year is to pray for every one of you every day. I've been doing that so far. It's easy for me because I know where everybody sits. I can close my eyes right now, and probably 90% of you, I can say, here's where you sit. So what I do when I pray, I close my eyes and I picture the church. And I start out with Bob here, and Val, and Charlie, and Vicky, and Kenny, and Leona. And I go on further on back. I can go around the whole church and visualize each of you. And I just pray a prayer of blessing on you. God, bless Fred and Gladys. Bless Don and Betty. Bless Jeff and Donna, you know. And if there's a particular thing that you're going through that I know about, I can stop and pray about that. But I try to, I'm trying to remember each of you in prayer. And that's just a couple of things that I'm doing this year. So as we go through this time of prayer, I'd like you to just, first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to pray for each other. So everybody turn around and look and see where everybody's sitting. Just know who's here, okay? Because when you start to pray, I want you to go through the rows, go around, and just pray silently. It can just be, bless Tammy, you know, bless Danny, bless Karen, whatever. You can add something to it if you want, but you can just kind of go through I think God will honor that. So, Chad, if you'll start, this is just some background music. This is going to go by a lot quicker than you think. It's going to take a few minutes, so just bow your heads and pray, and then when I offer up another topic, we'll switch to another topic. So let's do that now. Thank you. shoebox ministry is being given out. We can be
thank you.
Thank you.